Hang on. Here we go. Are you ready? I mean, are you really ready? Are you ready to open up like a clam under the soft, warm, laving waves of spring? Under the soft singing birds of note. Now hang on, here we go.
He meant porridge, oatmeal, cream of wheat, lumpy cream of wheat, cold, a mess of pottage. You know, just because I got these cherry trees, tell you what that old lady said down at the strawberry festival a couple of weeks ago. She said, let me stand you up against the wall for a moment. I'd like to take a picture of you. You're the most colorful native I've seen in this town. And I'm just a tourist. And I'd like to take a picture of you back to show my daughter, Marie. She stood me up against the wall there. And after she was through taking a picture, I said to her, Why'd you take my picture, lady? She said, because you got cheery cheeks. Like Santa Claus. Santa Claus. Santa Claus. All my life you've been telling me I look like Santa. All my life, how would you like to grow up looking like Santa Claus? When I was 10 years old, I had to play Santa Claus at the church Christmas festival because I looked like Santa Claus. I began to hate Santa Claus. Everybody chuckled at me. That was the biggest joke down at the hardware store when I was 12. Where's your reindeer, Santa? How are things at the North Pole? I am not Santa Claus. I am not Santa Claus. Would you like me to tell you a story, a bedtime story, Sonny? I'll tell you a bedtime story. One time I'm walking down by the I&E railroad tracks, over past the Erie Yards. I'm walking along and it's a sunny summer afternoon. One of them long June afternoons you have once in a while. Seem to go on forever. I'm walking along, it's a beautiful day. And I come up to these two bums. These two hobos. Just a couple of bows sitting there by the side. And they're cooking up some slumgullion. I'm walking along. Just let it go in the next track, son. Just let it go in the next one. That's it, just the next one. And I'm walking along there, and I see these two bows. I guess maybe I was about 15 at the time. And I had been told ever since I was a little kid to watch out for hobos, to watch out for these bums. And I'm walking along kind of on the other side of the track trying to pretend like I don't see them, when all of a sudden one of them called out. He said, "Hey, Sonny, come here." Nothing I could do, so I went over there to see what he wanted. And the big one said to me, "Sonny, how'd you like some slum?" We you're just about to throw it away. Would you like some slumgullion? Well, I was a kid, and a kid is always hungry. And it smelled off good. And so I said, sure. I'd like some slumgullion, is that what it is? And the man laughed and said, slumgullion. Everybody knows what slumgullion is. So I ate a slumgullion that was cooked up in a Campbell's tomato soup can. Oh, it was good. It was awful good. It was made out of onions from the fields. Hamburger, red beans, and fire, and sky, and ground. I ate that slumgullion and I've never been the same since. Never been the same since, Sonny. I'd come home, and my mother, you never knew your grandmother, did you? She says to me, what's that stuff you got around your mouth there? Have you been eating? You've been spoiling your supper again? I said, no, Ma. She says, I can tell you've been eating. What have you been eating? Slumgullion. 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 Where'd you get slumgullion? Down by the Erie Tracks. You mean you've been eating with hobos? Yeah, hobos. You have spoiled your supper, and how many times have I told you not to go down by those railroad tracks with those bums? Heard about me eating slumgullion with the bombs down by the tracks. But I've never been the same since. I have never tasted anything as good as that slumgullion. Ever. I have tried everything. I have tried everything. Never tasted nothing as good as that stew. That's all it is, it's stew. Made out of onions, hamburger, red beans, and fire, and sky. Guess you can't get that in the supermarket. The sky, I mean. Or the fire. The earth. Just a story. Now, you go on, go to bed. Don't mean nothing, son. Just remember, I'm not Santa. I'm not Santa Claus. Now, you get some sleep. You get some sleep.
Have you ever had the itch? You know what the itch is? Oh, do I have to tell you what the itch is? I mean, you're alive just like I am. The terrible itch. I get this awful itch in the springtime and in the fall. I have drunk lonesome water. I have drunk lonesome water. But the thing that is the most pernicious, digging, driving thing, I don't know, I think it's what makes us do all of this ridiculous stuff, is the itch. You know, it has never been recorded that the carabao had the itch, or a beaver or a rattlesnake ever gets the itch. You know what I mean by the itch? It's just the itch. It's the itch to go to Mars, to think further than your mind can think. Kind of run faster than you can run. I don't know, you know. It's the itch. And it's this kind of day that does it even more than other days. It's just sitting there like a clear, beautiful piece of crystal. You want to hold it, and you want to jiggle it around in your hand, and you want the light to go filtering through it and picking up all those blue and yellow highlights. It's that jiggling thing. It's that oscillating thing. You know, speaking of getting the itch, it shows everywhere, all kinds of ways. It's inescapable in so many ways. What do you think this is? Look at them. It's... Oh, no. It's the old crowd. It's everybody again. It's everybody I've ever known again. Hey, there's Esther. Esther! Hey, Esther! Esther! Esther Jane Oldberry. What's she doing beating a bass drum? There's Alex Chosway. Hey, Al! Oh, for crying out loud, there's Gasser. From the second platoon. Hey, Gasser. I thought you were dead. Oh, they're all here again. All of them. Everyone. Oh, look at the confetti. And look, there's Mr. Spohn, Mr. Spohn! When did he take up baton twirling? Hey, Spohn, Mr. Spohn! My high school principal. When did he take up baton twirling? He's leading the parade. We're all marching past. Wow. What an image. How would you like to have your past suddenly march? Hey, think of that. Talk about a horror mystery. Not a horror mystery, really. A terrible scene of stark, abject terror. Speaking of abject terror, this is WORAM&FM, New York. I'll be here until 1 o'clock in the morning. And among other things, we have with us the Paper Book Gallery. And they have just opened a brand new store on 6th Avenue. Right at 8th Street. Well, it's about three doors off of 8th Street, next to the Howard Johnson. Which, you know, if you really begin to understand what the Howard Johnson is in American life, when you see it in the middle of the village, there is nothing more out of place in Greenwich Village than Howard Johnson. It is totally, completely out of place, and it reminds you of the American Embassy in New Delhi. You know? And I have a suspicion that Howard Johnson is the tourist embassy. It's the one thing they can cling to. It gives them one feeling, one small feeling of security. Well, right next door, maybe three doors away, is the new Paper Book Gallery. And one more note, if you haven't done it, do it soon, because they are not going to go much longer. This is going to be the end of it pretty soon. And it's this: if you do not have the Paper Book Gallery catalog, put a quarter in the mail and get it off as soon as you can. Oh, by the way, when you send for this catalog, you get more than that. You get about 9 pounds of material. It comes in a great big fat envelope, and for at least 30 seconds you will feel vaguely important when you get this in the mail. And I'll talk to Marty, and we'll see if we can get it sent in a plain sealed envelope. Then you'll even feel more important. The one that says, adults only, and on the top it says, official business. But what this thing is, really, it's 105 or 106 pages. It's a big fat catalog of all the major paper books that are being printed and that are available from all over the world today, and they're all available through the Paper Book Galleries. It's a good reference work. It has thousands and thousands of titles. All of them are categorized under the theme of the work involved. For example, poetry, drama, etc., etc., philosophy, phrenology, chicanery. Oh, yes, they're all listed there. And you will find them listed under subject. And this thing is 106 or 108 pages, millions and millions of titles, and it's all there. And it's just for a quarter. As a matter of fact, the quarter doesn't even begin to cover the expenses involved in mailing this thing out to you. And especially if you're a student, I think you'll find this particularly valuable. And even more so if you live outside of the New York area. The Paper Book Gallery is one of the biggest mail-order paper book organizations in the world today. They mail their stuff all over the world, all the time. And as a matter of fact, their retail market, their over-the-counter market, is just a small part of their overall business. And if you don't know about the Paper Book Gallery, just drop a quarter into an envelope and send it to Paper Book Gallery,
Or just write paper book. That makes it much easier. Paper book, Box 60. Paper book, Box 60, New York 12, New York. And don't send it off to me, because I will merely go across the street and buy two cups of coffee and a piece of pie. It's Paper Book Gallery. Paper book, Box 60, New York 12, New York. This is the address. Paper book, Box 60, New York 12, New York. And in a couple of weeks, you'll... Oh, and one more thing, too. You will be on their mailing list then. This is not a sucker list. They do not give it to anyone else, nor do... You know that one of the big businesses today, of course, is buying lists of one kind or another. You know that you are on a list that is bought and sold? Many of us are on sucker lists. And you know, they found out some interesting things about the sucker. And that is that he will bite time and again on the same thing. So this business of once burned, it just doesn't work with mankind. It might work with cats, but it just doesn't work with people. That we have all been to a war, and we are all, just as sure as I'm sitting here, before all of it is over, before the last page has been written, we will be to more. But once burned, it means nothing. Once you're burned, you just want to go back and try it again. It's the old business of the wet paint and the red button. You can't help but reach out and touch the red paint, nor can you help but touch the red button, the one that says total destruction, if only to see what it feels like. The old feeling again, of course, that it's going to be all right. You'll start all over again and start rebuilding. But if you haven't sent for this thing, drop a quarter in the envelope and just mail it to Paper Book, Box 60, New York 12, New York. The implications are onerous. And speaking of the onerous, speaking of the crowd of the onerous. Stop. Stop. Hold it now. Just put your hand on it. Put your hand on it. Look. Can you imagine a scene like this? Now, this, since it is late, and I presume that the chickens have chickened out by this time, and there's just us left. Hey, this is the Labor Day weekend, isn't it? You know, in radio, people who work in this strange world of television, radio, and showbiz of one kind or another, there is absolutely no differentiation made, hardly at all. I don't know one holiday from the next. Just once, you know, I'd really like to have a Christmas off. Just once, you know, really, I really have a genuine holiday. Holidays are things which are almost abstractions to us in this business. It suddenly occurred to me, this is the Labor Day weekend. No wonder there's nobody out there. Our big machine here, we have one of these IBM audience counters. It's a VDOR system, and it has just registered that we have between seven and eight listeners tonight. Yeah. It's varying because there's one guy who is just not... He's looking for something he's not going to find, you know. He keeps oscillating, going back and forth between that Spanish station way down at the end of the dial and me. He can't tell which is more surrealistic. But the business, you know, of the audience, so on. So here it is. It's suddenly the Labor Day weekend. This is Der Tag. This is the end of it all and the beginning of something else again. The beginning of another phase. And we have arrived, you know, we are here. And it's again all in the mind. That this Sunday is no different to me than last Sunday, nor the one before that, nor the one before that. But it is in effect and in actuality different. It has to be. It is. I mean, it better be, you see. Now, are you ready? Since we've only got seven listening tonight, everybody else is out of town. That's in capital letters. Where do they go when they're out of town? I mean, what is out of town? I've never gone out of town. What is out there? What's out there? I don't... What? Well, maybe it is oblivion out there. But why do they want to go there, then? What brings them back here, then, you see? What strange attraction does that out there have, and then alternately we have here? A great movement. But now this is the point that we'd like to make. Since the kids are gone, since obviously the chickens have chickened out, nobody else is in town except us. There is a certain type of person who will not go out of town. And here we are. I'd like to draw an image here for you that I think is the kind of image that most of us are always brushing off, and yet it's the image that creates us. Can you imagine, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you're lying in bed. You're just lying there, you see, and you've had, oh, you've slept a little bit, and then you awaken, you slept. It's a kind of, just a nothing sort of night. It's not hot, it's not cold. And just, you're just lying there flat, you see. And just bring it in real soft. There, almost just a suggestion. No, 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 no. Much lower than that. Much. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Way down. Way, way, way down. Way down. Way down. So you can hardly hear it. Way down. Now, lower than that. Lower. Almost off. Almost off. Even lower than that. Now, even lower. That's good. No, I want this for a special reason. Now, bring it up just a hair. Now, put your hand on it. Hold it there. Now, I'm showing you how radio production is done. So you're lying flat out, see? You're just lying there, and the sheets are kind of clammy. But you haven't changed your sheets since Wednesday. It is now Sunday. You're lying there, looking up at the ceiling, and once in a while that beam of light crosses. You know, a beam of light. A car is passing by. And you can hear the Venetian blinds rattling a little bit occasionally when the breeze comes in. You're lying there flat. And then something begins to gnaw away. You begin to sense that there is a sound in the air. A sound that shouldn't be there. Just a 3 o'clock in the morning sound. What is that? What is that? It must be somebody's radio. And the clock keeps ticking away. Just a steady ticking. And then the refrigerator goes on. The sink keeps dripping. Tick, tick, ding. Tick, tick, ding. Ding, ding. A fan of light goes skittering across the ceiling, down the wall and into the rug. Tick, ding, ding. There goes another one chasing it. Tick, ding, ding, ding. Then you drift off just a little bit. Dream that you can't remember, you can't see it, and it wakes you up again. You hear that sound. I wonder whose radio that is. And then you get up. You walk across the rug. And you stand looking sideways through the Venetian blinds. You don't have anything on. You don't want anybody to look in. The street light peers in too clearly. You look out. You look down at the parking lot across the street. It's empty. Where's this coming from? It seems to be coming from everywhere. Just everywhere. You walk away from the Venetian blind. You go into the kitchen. You drink some milk. You are now awake. You go back into the bedroom. You pry apart the blinds and you look out for real this time. And you see somebody walking past. Down below on the street. And
that somehow you can recognize them. Even though you're 75 feet away and it's dark, you can recognize them. It's your third grade teacher, Miss Robinette. What in the world is she doing on 6th Avenue? This is insane. Hey, Miss Rob... Can't be. This is ridiculous. And she disappears. And another dark, shadowy figure. It's your cousin Warren. It's your cousin who was killed in the war. Oh, this is insane. This is insane. Whose radio is that? And Warren disappears around the corner. And there's another shadowy figure you're afraid to look. But you can't help it. You gotta look. Oh, I hear him singing. It's all the past. Oh. Who is that one?
It's that chick you took to the Valentine party. What was her name?
Mary Jane Spafford.
Mary Jane Spafford, for crying out loud. She is still 8 years old.
Oh, the devil. How come? I can recognize her. You stand there, and you can't leave. It stays that way. 3 o'clock in the morning. And every one of them, each one of them, everyone you've ever known, everyone in your life goes walking past, one by one, on the dark 6th Avenue of life.
Oh. Oh. I wonder...
When is it my turn? When am I gonna... When is it my turn? Look at who... Oh, look at that...
Oh, no, no, not him. Not her. Oh, hey, Wesley. Hey, Wes, you remember? Wes, I'm sorry, Wes, for what? He's not listening. No, no, listen. You're not even looking up here. Hey,